Bernard de Montreal. Preparatory communication number 67. Human feeling. Human feeling is the profound expression of the power of the soul over man. This power of the soul occurs at such a frequency that the real intelligence of man, his mind, gradually loses contact with the ego. This rupture of the contact between spirit and ego is the fundamental problem of human life on earth. The soul uses feeling and delays the development of pure intelligence on earth. But on the other hand, through this mechanism, allows human nature to be refined so that man can progress during the development of civilization. Human feeling allows man to develop certain experiential characteristics that allow him to evolve on the level of the soul, on the level of memory, so that evolution can be done in a way that produces a development of the mind and the emotional. But this evolution is not final, it only represents a sketch of the future evolution of man. And it is here that the nature and mechanics of feelings must be clearly explained and understood. Feeling is born of impotence, a lack of clarity of intelligence in man. It is related to his inferior nature not perfected. It is neither the high nor the low of experience. It is only some limit of intelligence. And man cannot conceive such a limit because he is not sufficiently advanced in his real intelligence and real power to see to what extent he is enslaved by his feelings of all kinds. Man's mental life, his inferior intelligence, is banished from the power of light, so that this light cannot illuminate the mechanicity of his feelings. He is then forced, in spite of himself, to live them without realizing, or being able to realize, that he can live without feelings and that a life without feelings is another life, another dimension of life. And this life is nothing like the one filled with those inner movements of the soul that make man a slave of his memory, sentiment, or feeling alone, color the planetary life of humanity. The human consciousness of humanity is a reflection of this energy that corrupts human life. Feeling is to man what instinct is to the animal, and the difference between the two is due only to the more complex structure of the human astral body. Feeling is the last of humanity's great plumes. And the men who become conscious on Earth will lose this plume, and their supramental intelligence will manifest itself in direct proportion to the decrease in this energy in man. Feeling appears to be beneficial to man, because, for the unconscious being, feeling is food. But this food comes from the soul and not from the spirit. And everything that comes from the soul binds man to an inferior and planetary condition. The soul exercises its power over man through feeling. And the world of death is nourished by feeling executed through ignorance on the material level. Man is a naive being, far from suspecting the real nature of his feelings, far from suspecting his laws, their power. That is why he worries, or is offended, when he is told that the feeling is anti-intelligence, therefore anti-reality, anti-human. But feeling is so much a part of unconscious life and human experience, and has been for so long, that man can no longer objectively see the danger in feeling on the globe. He is only basking in his sun. The feeling builds in man a thick wall that separates him from his real intelligence, therefore from the ether. Eventually, he is so trapped in his feelings that he is no longer able to make the movements in his life that he should make to free himself from the forces that delay the development of his intelligence, his identity. The feeling is all the more profound and difficult to uproot in humans when it is considered good. For a good feeling has a positive value, and any positive and motivated astral value is suitable for man, for his intellect, but not necessarily for his superior intelligence, that is, for his mind. What allows, or has allowed in the past for man to know and develop feeling stems from the fact that man was not conscious of his mind, of his real intelligence, of the laws of evolution. And this condition allowed him to use feeling to give himself, to create a psychological security that his mind could not give him, because he did not know it yet. But as soon as man is in the supramental consciousness, he gradually loses the ability to live off the feeling. He lives only by the presence of his intelligence. In other words, feeling replaces in man the presence of his mind. When man is conscious of his spirit, of the universal part in him, he will no longer need feeling, for his intelligence will be too high above the human condition for him to give plausibility to feeling, and the latter will disappear in man to give way only to pure intelligence. Sentiment possesses man through the emotionality that pulses in him, and this emotionality is the energy of the soul that holds him in the experience of human desire. And that is why man finds it difficult to find the way to real life, to real intelligence, to ether, etc., etc. The soul proceeds in man through feeling, and the astral forces use his soul memory to bind him through vibrations, so that the feeling is not only retarding for man, it damages the evolution of cosmic consciousness on Earth, because it does not proceed from reality but from the power of death on Earth. And this power is vast, because man is very ignorant of the world of death and its laws, so that he is powerless as long as the power of the mind, of real intelligence, does not shatter in him the illusions linked to feeling. Seeing cosmic evil through planetary evil is easy, but seeing cosmic evil through good planetary evil requires unfailing discernment. And this discernment can only come as man enters his own intelligence. Otherwise he will never be able to discern between a feeling that is good and that is also retardant at the same time. A feeling is an attack on the mind. A feeling always weakens man's real intelligence, because it is too close to man and too far from the mind. So man reacts to the inner strength of feeling and cannot act in the clarity of the mind. Thus, Instantaneous decrease in intelligence and consequently, material disorganization causes disharmony in a human action. Project this situation on a global scale and you will understand the evils of humanity, and by correlation why civilization is built and functions in the way that we are very familiar with today. Feeling can never be creative. It can be good or bad. In the creative process of real intelligence, there can be no feeling. That is why, moreover, real and creative intelligence is so powerful and devastating. For it cannot be diluted, weakened by feeling. The man who lives it, who channels it, cannot be fooled by this form of blackmail from his emotions, from his memory, from the soul. As soon as he ceases to be fooled, he realizes that he is not, or is no longer normal. I.E. A standard copy of the social man. It is becoming more and more real itself. But at what cost? At the cost of not seeing himself as he used to. At the cost of not feeling the way he felt before. A separation is felt in him, and this separation of the old and the new makes him recognize the power that the feeling had over him before he recognized it. Man cannot live by feeling and get closer to the ether at the same time, because his mind becomes too powerful. And as soon as the spirit of man begins to manifest his power, he obliterates the power of the soul over him, and makes the ego imperturbable in the face of emotion. And this condition predisposes man to eventually experience the vibratory shock of the breakthrough of consciousness. This breakthrough of consciousness, which instructs him of the phenomenal of his mind, can only be made when the feeling no longer exists in man. Otherwise, too much spirituality would exercise its power over him. This is what happens to those who are called saints. Spiritual feeling, plus the experience of some other astral reality, transforms them to such an extent that they lose all identity, and that the only measure of their present and future reality is the god of their religion or some form of divinity. The soul then has full power. And when it has full power over the being, it can communicate its energy, its strength, so that miracles can be performed, seen, in order to perpetuate on earth among ignorant and spiritual populations, the myth of the divinity astrally perceived and sentimentally understood. Hence the theological power of certain religions, mystical sects, religious sects. The human being is no longer. Only a material envelope remains for the execution of plans whose origin is astral, and under the control of forces that delay the descent of real intelligence on Earth, for the benefit of ignorance of the death of those spheres which benefit from human ignorance, so that the cycle of domination by ignorance continues as long as possible. But the spirit cannot be tamed, nor dominated, when it is felt in its full power. And humanity, today, enters, without realizing it, into the cycle of pure intelligence, of supramental intelligence, and the feeling will no longer be able to extinguish it, because it is already on Earth. And men are beginning to feel it, to communicate with it, to understand it in its infinite intelligence. Feeling completely conceals man's real intelligence to such an extent that it is impossible for him to raise his vibratory rate when an event occurs in his life, an event whose shock should serve him well. Feeling neutralizes the vital value of the shock and prevents man from developing new vibratory octaves in his consciousness, in his subtle bodies. The more octaves man possesses, the closer he gets in spirit to his ultimate reality. But if the feeling is too powerful in him, he will stifle the vibratory notes of a higher consciousness that can be created by the shock, because the feeling acts as a cover on the musical strings of an instrument. It is because of the feeling that culture, civilization, cultivates that there comes a time in human history when this culture, this civilization must die, because it no longer has enough vital and creative strength. It no longer has a mind. It is only feeling. The feeling has degenerated and there is no place left in man for the mind, the real intelligence, to pass without being weighed down or even neutralized by the feeling. Some civilizations last longer than others because they are less quickly contaminated by feelings. Feeling is not only a subjective experience of man. It is also a collective ointment that allows a culture to keep its psychology, and therefore its history, alive, but always at the cost of the gradual loss of the power of the mind, or of real intelligence, in the individual. Eventually the opposing forces are too strong and the balloon dies. Civilization disappears. Dies. We are at this stage today. And tomorrow we will know the consequences of the abscess. Although man lives his emotional life according to the feeling that colors it, he does not yet realize the energetic nature of feeling and his strength against the spirit, or pure intelligence. Man does not yet conceives that feeling is always anti-intelligence. He sees it only as the natural expression of human nature without understanding or realizing that feeling is part of an inferior life. A life that conditions his mind instead of liberating it. The liberation of the spirit of man goes against the psychological laws of man, because these laws are determined, fixed by social conscience and not by pure intelligence. However, although feeling appears at first sight to be the natural expression of the soul in man, he will one day have to realize that this same expression is limiting, and creates in him an imbalance between his subtle bodies and the mass of unused energy that wants to penetrate him and make him conscious, creative, cosmic, universal, that is to say free. The feeling channels low vibrations, And these vibrations remain within it and create an envelope that grows and becomes more and more denser with the years. So comes the time when the creative forces in man are suppressed. And not much time is needed for contact with these forces to be obliterated. Ignorance is perpetuated and man loses consciousness of his objective reality. But it is still necessary that man be endowed with good feelings so that at least his nature is pleasant and that society is free from any bestiality. But this ideal situation does not and cannot close the gap between mind and ego. The ego must, if it wants to be conscious, take in hand the forces that diminish it in its intelligence and see that these forces cannot harm its reality. Man's happiness and misfortune are born of feeling. But man's consciousness is born of its gradual abolition. Until the day when all his consciousness reflects the spirit and all his consciousness is filled with it. The feeling can no longer, then, tarnish the life of man. He no longer needs it to have the impression of living, of being happy. The awakened consciousness is too clear, too intelligent, too present for the ego to be fooled by the small or large swirls of the soul that cross man and make him slave to conditions that he can really overcome if he is strong enough to live centrifugally. Feeling is universal on earth, and man, who gradually understands its mechanism, sees himself alone in front of the mirror, and does not always have the strength to watch his mind coldly rise against it. He fears retaliation. He fears being misjudged. He fears all kinds of things that are still part of the feeling. In other words, man is in the feeling as the fish is in the water. And no fish can get out of the water unless it is removed by the fisherman. However, the psychology of supramental consciousness is the fishing rod that will take man out of the water. And will one day make him see that beyond the water there is the earth. And from the fish, a new amphibious species will develop. Feeling withdraws from the human experience when man sees it and suffers from its presence. If he does not suffer the presence of it, he cannot realize it by himself. That is, he is powerless to put his finger on it. Because the feeling becomes more rational, and as it becomes more rational, it goes unnoticed and man is a victim, blind. For it to be grasped by the spirit of man, he must at some point become aware of it in order to look at it properly, to experience its turbulence and suffering. Then he can overcome it, and one day see it born in him with great ease because his sensitivity will be more awakened and more affected by the feeling. Feeling is definitely a suffering for the conscious being. It cannot be otherwise because his mind will make him see the uselessness of such a form of energy. And from then on, man will be stripped of a garment that he has always worn and considered normal, necessary, and even useful. And yet only the experience of conscious life can very well make us see and understand that the experience of involution and its machinations cannot be evolutionary and creative. Feeling always involves risks for the human species. because it is not stable. Continuous. It is only the temporary result of a kind of balance that can easily degenerate, thus dragging man into the path of another feeling, often totally opposed to the first. We find this in the human experience of subjective love, where we see love and hatred coexist with the human being. However, if the feeling is not continuous, it turns out that his intelligence is not fixed by laws of creative consciousness, but by laws of animal consciousness that are subject to readjustment according to the occasions of life, according to ups and downs, according to temperament and character. However, such a situation can cause infinite harm. And it is here that we can understand why men have such difficulty harmonizing with each other. There is too much feeling in man and too little real intelligence. And it is only with the coming evolution that this awful situation of race will gradually be readjusted, because of the consciousness of the human being who cannot be governed by the animal mechanisms of the lower man. For a feeling to be halted in its expression, the ego must be conscious of its mind. Otherwise, the ego will be inexorably pushed in the direction of his feeling. The mind can stop it. Stop it by talking to it, enlightening it and making it realize the uselessness of such an energy loss. It is then that the ego adjusts to its intelligence, and the feeling begins to withdraw from its life, to give way to the creative intelligence that directs its human action, and propels man towards the fields of experience where the greatest clarity of mind is necessary and primordial, to perfectly understand the paradox of material life. We attribute a false value to feeling and we believe in it. We raise his effigy every day of life, and we dwell on it. And yet, there is only inferior life rottenness in the feeling. But we scent this rot and soon we only smell the perfume and forget what it hides. We are afraid of not having a feeling because we do not understand the nature of man. We believe that not having a feeling is not normal, when in fact it is often the mind that protects us without our knowledge. But ignoring his action, we suffer to the ego. We do not consider ourselves like the others, etc. etc. What a horror not to be able to know that we are good and seek to be bad out of ignorance. Feeling clouds man's mind because he ignores his intelligence. If it is good, the ego feels like it is living well, and if it is misplaced, the ego fears to reject it because it is not sure of its intelligence. He's not sure he can live without it. And yet the ego lives much more really when far from the feeling, because then its intelligence is defined, and the more it defines itself, the further it pushes the limits of the life of the action. Sentiment, seen from any point of view, damages the real supramental intelligence of man and misleads him. Look at your past experiences and you will see that feeling was by far the cause behind the misfortune. It is a new stage of life for man, It is to recognize the danger of feeling and the suffocation he creates in his mind. Feeling was cultivated during the involution. Because man was not yet ready to live on pure intelligence, so feeling allowed him to live on emotion. But the new cycle will be different because man will no longer be forced to live according to others. He will only live in relation to others. And this new life will no longer require that feeling be the measure of human relationships. Supramental intelligence will prevail in the conscious man and his life will no longer be a torture chamber. Feeling destroys the will of intelligence in the egg. It undermines the individuality of man and pushes him to lose his individuality little by little, as he gets bogged down in it. The reason why man has never surpassed feeling is that human feeling is in conformity with the psychological order of his culture. When man reaches the maturity of his intelligence, this psychological order will collapse, for the supramental intelligence is cold rather than warm. That is, it works evolutionarily. It thus pushes man to act according to the perfection of his subtle bodies. By occluding the intellect which rationalizes man's emotional or sentimental behavior, starting from a standardized background picture which is his culture, the feeling is not in itself evolutionary. It is lagging behind. This observation can only be established by the individual's awakened consciousness. No unconscious ego will admit that its sentimental life is harmful to its evolution, since by the same token it would exclude itself. However, the ego does not want to exclude itself from evolution, from the evolutionary process, hence, its psychological need. But he is not ready to see what he cannot consciously achieve until that consciousness is established in him. The feeling, although it is noble, however noble it is a convenience of the soul and not of pure intelligence. If the soul is evolved, the feeling is noble, great, but evolution goes beyond the conveniences of the soul. Evolution will lead man to the limits of the power of the spirit. Now, for the spirit to be born on earth and replace the experiential conveniences of the soul, it will become necessary for man to transmit his emotional energy into mental energy, so that the human kingdom is elevated to the universal status of the superhuman kingdom, or the era of supermental consciousness. Feeling improves unconscious human life if it is noble and in its place, and destroys individual life if it lacks balance. In either case, man, the individual, has something to learn from his power, against pure intelligence. In either case, man must look at the difference in his life, if he opts for feeling, and if he exceeds it. Because there is a difference, and only the experience lived against the new experience can make us understand the link between the powerlessness of the mind and feeling. It is not a question for man to deny his feelings. It is a question for man to understand and realize according to the power of his real and growing intelligence. That feeling in the fifth race, subrace, is no longer on the agenda in the next phase of evolution. Man will understand that feeling in its most negative form leads human beings to crime. The crime is the sentimental expression of the man whose astral body is totally unbalanced. The feeling maintains certain energies in man. And when these energies become too powerful, the ego is no longer able to contain them. That is, to control them. That is why these energies lead to violence, to crime. There is no reason for man to be violent, because violence is not in the realm of his mind, but it is in the realm of his lower and animal consciousness. But it manifests itself when too much force in him seizes his being and reduces him to the robotic state, to that state of bestiality where the astral energy unleashes itself in him and against man. The phenomenon of violence is the direct product of the deformation of an astral energy called feeling. And this deformation is the very cause of the violence that is rampant in the world today. The danger of such a distortion of the astral energy coincides with the loss of consciousness of man, that is, with the invasion of his being, of his mind, by forces resulting from feeling that violate, because of their power, the real intelligence, or the spirit of man. Sentiment, if born of high moral value, advances culture and civilization. Otherwise, he suffocates it and leads it to the abyss. Once the feeling is too deep-rooted, only the vibratory shock can destroy it. And that is why it took man so long to progress. Because it took him shocks so that he could overcome the previous psychology linked to his feelings. So that his psychology could be refined. But as long as man is not aware of his real intelligence, feeling will succeed in creating some form of fall or chaos in his life. For there is never any real intelligence in feeling, even if it is laudable. For there to be real intelligence in man, the spirit must dominate the ego and the ego, thus overcoming the feeling or its aspects. Crime has become a part of everyone's life, because everyone, without realizing it, contributes to its diffusion in the world, because everyone projects into the world feelings of all kinds that electrify the astral of man, of humanity. And this electrification is contagious. It is communicated. And today television electrifies humanity's astral like it never did in the past. Emotional abuse has increased worldwide since the advent of television. Because this technology has substituted the limited experience of the individual to expand it to a scale that was not part of the human imagination until now. When television appeared, man, the individual, lived his feelings on a personal scale, on the scale of his small environment. With television there was an awareness of feeling on a global scale. And this forced unlimited personal feeling to channel itself through an ever-increasing number of forms that could harness all its energy. For example, idolized music became, with the help of television, a corridor through which the most diverse feelings began to surround the globe. The populations and the new violence. The psychological violence at the end of the cycle began. And today we have not yet seen all its aspects or the end. It is not a question of blaming television. It has nothing in itself to do with violence or crime resulting from distorted feelings. But it perfectly serves the cause of astral forces on Earth. Because it is global. Only the intelligent and real consciousness of man can defeat this energy that goes beyond the individual and inflames all nations. Tomorrow's conscious men will understand the essence of feeling and its astral function. And they will understand that conscious and supramental life cannot incorporate such a form of energy. Because this energy is too low in vibration. Man must one day understand that life cannot be real if it is lived in terms of feeling. And that any opposite notion is only the powerful product of the astral on his mind. Just as feeling was part of ancient humanity and was the cause behind collective and individual human karma, so the centuries following the end of the cycle will be free from the feeling of the fifth race, the fifth sub-race. Because there will be less and less ignorance and more real intelligence. The man of tomorrow will learn to look again at what he thought he understood. What he thought was necessary. What he thought was useful in the past of his involution. He will see clearly that the notion of the past is not the fact of the future. And that the psychological condition of the new evolution cannot be parallel with the old one. Just as the feeling during the old life of man was an integral part of his daily consciousness, so tomorrow, the feeling will no longer exist. Not because man will no longer have emotion, but because man's emotionality will be reorganized. His energy will be elevated in vibration, and that this energy will no longer serve him on the level of his animal consciousness, but will serve him according to a higher degree of consciousness. That is, the supramental consciousness. The astral body of man will be totally transformed. And being totally transformed, its vital function will be different. Its emotional function will be determined not by the intellect, memory and power of the soul, but by the power of the spirit. And from this power of the spirit, man will be able to understand the real nature and the real function of the astral body, not according to his blind ego but to his powerful intelligence.